Andrew said, I've got something to say, and you're going to listen to it. And so we say, praise the Lord for that. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Sister Katrina and praise band, that was wonderful. That was wonderful. Let me get situated. And let's just concentrate. Let's just take a moment and stay in that attitude of praise and worship. And so if you just repeat after me just a few things. Lord, we need you. Lord, we need you right now. We bow in honor and praise, and you are worthy. Thank you. I just want to tip our hat to God and the presence that he brings. And today I was getting ready this morning, and I was dreading saying goodbye, and God said, you're not going to do that. You're going to celebrate. Because I was in the middle of that, and I worked things out. And I celebrate the fact that my friend and my fellow brother in the Lord has got an awesome opportunity. And so we celebrate today the goodness and the faithfulness of our God, and we give him all the praise and the glory. And so if you'll just give me a minute or two to pray and to get my feet up underneath me. This has been a rough week. Cheryl took a horrible fall and experienced quite a bit of pain and quite a bit of suffering. I kicked myself. I had planned to take the dog into the vet, and she convinced me otherwise. And I failed. And the dog pulled her off her feet, and she face planted into the concrete, and she was scuffed up from head to toe. But I just want to compliment you, Cheryl. You are such a hard worker, and you are so loyal to God and his kingdom. And so she had black eye and a big bruise on her eye socket, and no skin on her chin, and a cut nose, and scuffed up knees. And I begged her to take her to the ER, and she said no. And then she came in and she taught the women's Bible study on Tuesday. And I just want to say that I'm in awe of the chance to be your trophy husband. And she said, you can't be serious and save your life. And I said, I can't, but I just want to tell you, I am who God created me to be. And the beautiful thing is this church here has said, go ahead. And we love you for exactly how God has created you. And so I want to say thank you for that. This sermon series that we're in, we'll be preaching on Sunday mornings all the way up to Easter Sunday about the truths of Easter. And each Sunday we'll come in and I'll share with you a certain truth that the story of Easter, that beautiful story of Easter, one truth for each Sunday leading all the way up to Easter morning. And so let me just pray and ask my dad to help me pray, and then we'll get started. Father, you know I'm nothing without you, and you know I can't do this job. I don't have anything to give him. I don't have anything. But you do. And if you'll allow me, I'll stand in your place today and do my very best to share a message that you had wrote on my heart. And so be with us today. Allow us to weep if we need to weep. Allow us to laugh and to celebrate and to have a good time. Your house was always meant to be a place of joy and help and celebration and jubilee. And so I pray that today will be, that it wouldn't be any different. And so, Dad, I just ask you to sit with us for a minute. Thank you for every person that has made their way into this church today. Affirm them. Let them know that the living God, the all-powerful God, loves them. And if there's anyone in here that's feeling unworthy, let them know that they are the apple of your eye and that you love them. And so just be with us today. Allow us to learn something today that might help us to go and to be a better, more Christ-like reflection of your beautiful Son. And so just be with us today, I pray, and I ask in your holy name, amen. Before I get started, I do want to say congratulations to Brother Roger Holcomb. He preached his first sermon last week, and I said, how many minutes you got? He said 30, and he finished up in 15. And so I don't know if you guys know, in Nazarenedom, you know, just like the senators and those, and they'll say, I want to reclaim my minutes. Well, I want to reclaim Roger's minutes. And so we should get out of here about 1:45-ish. And that way all the Pentecostals will be away from Frisch's and we can make it straight to the salad bar. I'm just teasing. We are citizens. We're residents of the United States of America. But we are a divided people. There are many, many divisions among us. And in fact, I'll share with some of you today. Some are just superficial, trivial, some comical, and some very serious. But there's a reasoning behind that, and we'll get into it. We're divided over food. Who's Gold Star people? Raise your hand. Oh, I'll pray for you. We're for Gold Star. Yeah. Praise the Lord, Gold Star. Who's Skyline? Oh, my word. Who likes thin crust compared to thick crust? Yeah, I pray for you too. We're divided on food and preferences of food. We're divided on sports. H-I-O. And that scummy team up above the state line going that direction that Billy has to like for whatever reason. How about the Bengals and the Browns? How about Auburn versus Alabama? I have a mentor and a friend down in Alabama, the churches that he goes into are not as casual as ours is. And so he said, now when you come down here, make sure you have a suit and a tie and dress lax. And so I did what he wanted. And Cheryl just bought me a brand new tie from Steve Harvey, because it actually goes all the way down to my belt buckle. And it was beautiful. It was blue and orange. And I came out of the bedroom and he was like, take that off, Doc. And I was like, what? He goes, those are Auburn colors, and you're in Alabama country. And I thought, oh, my word. I didn't know it was like that. And then that one kook, a kook is a theological term, that from Auburn tried to kill, no, from Alabama, tried to kill the big tree. Did you guys remember that? Ecological terrorist. All because he liked his team over the other one. Music is also a division. Some like country. Some like rap. And before Cheryl put her claws in me and settled me down, I was a Christian rap artist. My name was Zab Daddy. And let me just break it down for you, Braden. Walking up and down the beaches. Yeah, you're feeling the flow. Walking up and down the beaches. Chicks hanging on me like leeches. Yeah. Yeah. I got a couple more verses if you want them. Because my kisses are sweet as peaches. Woo! Man, I think we could just say amen and go home. And some of you are saying, if it gets you off the stage, yes. Now, some of the more serious ones, we know that politics divide us. You know, you have the Democrats and you have the Republicans. We have nations, and our support of different nations divide us, whether you want to put your favor behind the Arabs or the Jews. And one of the stronger ones is religion. Religion divides us. Christianity versus Islam. And the list goes on and on. And some of these divisions, like I said, are superficial and comical, and some are serious, and some bring exile, some bring hatred, and some even bring death. And divisions and divides that are created by man are the things that break Jesus's heart. It was never in God's intention. It was never Jesus's plan for there to be divides and divisions and disputes and hard feelings between people. Jesus left the azure halls of heaven and came down as a baby, and he grew and he lived out his life. And then he started this ministry. And I know for a fact, I know for a fact that when he went from town to town, that there was times that he seen people treating each other in a harsh way. And it just broke his heart. Jesus never wanted anyone to feel less than. He didn't want anyone to be ostracized and pushed out. And in our world today, we have all kinds of divisions. I happen to be obese. And so there are times, there are circles of people, there's groups of people that will never take me serious. I could come up with one of the most fantastic sermons of my whole career, but because I'm obese, they will never listen to me, and I will never be given the credit. There's people who are black that will never be able to be invited and acclimated into certain circles because there is still racial prejudice that goes on in our country. There's people of all different kinds of shapes and sizes and different ilks that they will never be allowed, and those divisions break the heart of Jesus. In fact, divisions like that, it pushed Jesus. It propelled Jesus to the cross. He knew that he was going to combat it. And so he lived out his life, and he taught change, and he lived change, and he modeled change. But even in his death, when he went to the cross, he knew that it was still there. But he also knew, Jesus also knew that his Father in heaven had a remedy. He had a solution. And I know that it hurt him deeply. I know that it did. You remember the words of John, the Apostle John, in John chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, through him, Jesus, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. See, Jesus, the reason why he was so hurt and the reason why he was so upset was because he knew what it was supposed to be. He knew how it was when it all first started. And now he comes as a savior, as a sacrifice, as a Messiah, and he looks out through the town to town to town, and he sees a broken world. He sees a broken world that it wasn't supposed to be that way. Have you ever wanted something? Have you ever wanted something for your child that you wanted it more for them? Have you ever wanted more for a coworker than what they wanted? Or a family member? And that's what Jesus was. He saw the division, and we'll get to the division, the heftier, weightier division that Jesus came to deal with. And it affected him. And so I want you to go along with me today. I want you to ask yourself this question and contemplate it for a minute. Is unity and reconciliation possible? Is it? Is there going to be a time that we get to see before we die, or maybe after we die, that there will be peace, that the Jew and the Arab would be able to meet? Is that the Democrat and the Republican would be able to meet? Is there a time, is it part of God's plan, that there will be peace on earth and that there will be unity? See, I'm optimistic. I want it to happen. I want everything equal. I want everything fair. What I have, I want everybody else to have. What I eat, I want everybody else to eat. I want everything to be fair. And I'm optimistic that there is coming a day that that Jewish carpenter, what he accomplished in three short years of his ministry, will help and motivate us into a time of peace and unity. I'm optimistic that it will happen. You know why, Greg? Because I've fallen in love with Jesus. I've fallen in love with Jesus and the person that he is, and the things that I see Jesus do. The things that I see Jesus do. Daniel, will you stand and wave at me? This is Daniel, not the one in the lion's den, but that's Daniel. And one thing that I've seen Jesus do in your life, Daniel, you go ahead and sit down if you want. I've seen Daniel come in, and I've seen him get acclimated to the church body. And I've seen you come in and Wednesday nights and Sunday school and that. And then what I got to see Jesus do was that Jesus just opened up your heart and made you feel comfortable right here. And you talk and you share wonderful points in Wednesday and from what I hear in Sunday school. And you speak and you share on the board meeting. See, I'm in love with Jesus. I know that Jesus is alive, and I know that Jesus is interested and involved in each day of our life. I've seen Jesus heal people. I've seen Jesus save people. I've seen Jesus feed people. I've seen Jesus do marvelous things in this church. I mean, marvelous things. When I used to work out with Dirk, he would work out, and he had his little spray bottle because he didn't want to sweat, but he did want man glitter, and so he'd be like, psst, psst. And, but then he would stop, and he would fix his hair. And I said, Dirk, you are the gift to Grace Point Church of Nazarene. We could say that we have a person on staff that's got the best hair in all of Trenton. Amen. Eddie, the ball-headed guy, said yes. I affirm that. Oh, that's why I chose today. That's why I chose the truth of today. Tell me the truth about Easter. That's why I chose this truth that I want to share with you today. The Apostle Paul was not only optimistic about that reconciliation, but he taught us that it was happening. One of the greatest things that Jesus ever accomplished in the story, the beautiful story of Easter, was he took two groups that absolutely hated each other. He had the Jews and he had the Gentiles. And the Jews hated the Gentiles so bad was that some of the rabbis had a saying that a Gentile wasn't even worthy enough to be used as kindling to start a fire. Can you believe a religious person saying something like that? Oh, the animosity cut both ways. They hated each other. They were so far apart from each other. But one of the most beautiful truths that we learn from the Easter story is that Christ came to create one new humanity. Are you taking notes? Or if you highlight, I don't know if you could highlight stuff on your phone. I use the marker on the screen of my phone and it never highlights the script. But if you can make that's the point that I'll be preaching and teaching from to you today. Christ came to create one new humanity. Christ said, I'm coming, and I'm going to teach and preach and love and share in such a way that I want to bring these two groups. I want to bring them together. And it had to be hard, because you know, the 12 disciples, they didn't too much care for the Gentiles. And so Christ was up against it from the very beginning. Christ came to unite the Jew and the Gentile, to bring two groups of people that were divided and that hated each other. He did a miraculous work. He came to bring two groups, to erase the division, to break down the barriers, and to make two groups one, just one. He wanted to join them together as a family. And so let me direct you to the scriptures. Ephesians chapter 2. And I think I may do something a little bit different. I might not go heavily on my notes. I'll just go down the scriptures with you. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, it talks about being made alive in Christ, talking about the individual work that grace does. When God came in and forgave me of all of my sins and washed me as white as snow, that was an individual work. But now we switch gears and we go from the individual work of Jesus, of grace, to the corporate work of grace. And so Paul is talking to the people in Ephesus. He says, therefore, remember. You ever get called to remember stuff? When people do that, it's because it's serious. Cheryl, for those of you who don't know, I have ADHD and I'm scatterbrained, and she'll tell me something and I'll say, what was the last thing you said? And she'll go ahead and repeat the whole story, Larry, because I didn't hear the first part of the story either. And the first two times it's okay. The third time and the fourth time is when she gets mad. And you know, I'm just, you know, watch this. I'm going to melt her heart. I'm out of jail. Did you see that, Danny? I'm out of jail. Paul said, therefore, remember that formerly you, who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel, and you were foreigners to the covenants of the promise. You were without hope and without God in the world. See, Paul was saying, I want you to remember what you once was like. I think it's really interesting how so many people, they have a tendency to sterilize and romanticize and clean up what they were before they accepted Christ. And see, what Paul was saying was, I want you to remember that at one time you were ostracized. You had no place. You had no hope. You didn't share in the hope of God and His kingdom. I see it all the time. I see some of the people that have kind of come up and they don't struggle financially anymore. And what I think is interesting is how short their memory was, because they'll kind of make snap judgments on the people who are struggling financially. They'll say, well, They need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Well, they need to budget better. See, they forget to remember what it was like for them when they were first coming up, before everything got stabilized. And Paul was talking to the Gentiles, and Paul was saying, you'll never understand what God did for you, the weight, the depth, the scandalousness of his grace. You know, listen, Gentiles, you need to remember what it was like before you were brought into the fold, before God made a difference. Remember, at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, listen to this. He kind of roughed them up a little bit, remember, but then he says, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away, the Gentiles, you who were once far away, have been brought near. And how is Jesus going to fix the Democrats and the Republicans? How is he going to be able to get, how is Jesus going to get AOC and Donald Trump to be able to sit next to each other and really enjoy it? See, that's what we're going to talk about today. That's what we're going to talk about today. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I don't care what church you go to, whether it's a mega church, whether it's a small church, whether it's a Lutheran church, Southern Baptist Church, or God's chosen, the Nazarene Church, just throwing that out there. It's always going to be about the blood. It's always going to be about the blood of Christ. People say, John, how are we going to get rid of all these divisions and these hate? It's going to be through the blood of Christ. And it's going to be through the cross. By the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one. See, the work of Christ is so efficient and so thorough. What Jesus did through the blood that he shed on the cross, by taking on our sins, it was through his blood, and he ushers in the peace. See, that's why I'm so optimistic. I believe in the scriptures, and I believe what my Sunday school teachers taught me. I believe in the Word of God and what Paul is sharing to the Gentiles and to the Jews, and now he's sharing it to you. You get to hear it today, is that there's hope. There's hope. And that's why I get up and I come into this church. And that's why I preach the gospel. And that's why I try to live out the best life that I can, is because the blood of Christ has ushered in peace in my life. I love everyone. Some I love a little bit more than others. On some days, just being honest. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Oh, I'm so sick of the hostility. I'm so sick that you can't even mention things in the world today because there's people that are laying in wait to just jump on you. I'm so sick of the hostility. Now we're going to do, and I hope I explained this right, we're going to do a sermon series on Moses. And so preparing for this sermon series, Moses was very unique. He experienced all of the Egyptian life, and he experienced a good portion of the Jewish life. He knew both sides of the fence. And I thought that was interesting. And so to prepare for this next sermon series, for an amount of time, I did nothing but listen to CNN. I did nothing but immerse myself in that side of the fence. And I went in with the idea and the thought is I'm going to buy into everything they said. And then I took another part of time and I immersed myself in nothing but Fox. And I bought into everything. And so I wanted to try to figure out how that we at Grace Point Church Nazarene can start to end the hostility and, like Jesus, tear down the barrier. Does that sound interesting? Yeah. Well, I'm not going to do that sermon series anyway. So, no, I'm teasing you. You're right in the front row. I'm sorry. We are going to do it. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its command and regulations. His purpose, and hang your hat on this, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity. Now, let me share this. Have you ever had to try to reconcile with someone? Have you ever tried to make nice? And see, Jesus said, I've come to make one new humanity. But reconciliation, what it requires is at first for the people to be willing to talk and to meet. People have to be willing to be reconciled before God really starts to do the work. I have cousins that are racist. We went to a family reunion. We drove 10 hours to get there. And one of my female cousins married a black man. And so when me and Cheryl pulled up, and Jordan, when we pulled up, we saw, and it was dinner time, because it's always dinner time at the young family reunion. We saw three black men that was sitting on the front porch of a cabin. And Jordan goes, they must not know it's dinner time. And I said, it may go a little bit deeper than that. And so I didn't know them. They didn't know me. I walked over to them and I said, I got the word lunch is being served. And they were like, no, we better stay over here. It just doesn't sit right, Jeremy. See, when you accept Christ, Bruce, there is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no male, there is no female. We're all children of Christ. And I said, well, you just got to follow me in there. No, we don't want to start no trouble. And I said, well, I'm going to make you a plate and I'll probably spill some of it walking back over here to this cabin where you could follow me into the main dining hall. And they thought for a minute. And I said, I'm pretty hard-headed. My dad was Wayne. And after a few minutes, they decided to get up. Do you know what spurs reconciliation? Do you know what starts reconciliation between two people, two groups that hate each other? Is for one to go, to one to reach out, for one group to say, I don't want to be right. I just want to be, I want to be part of the kingdom with you. It's an uphill battle, but I'm optimistic, Jennifer. It's a overwhelming battle, But I serve a God that says all things are possible with Christ. Wouldn't it be great that on this Sunday morning in April is that we say that this act of reconciling a divided country would begin here? Wouldn't it be great if we stopped posting things that we don't agree with? Wouldn't it be great if we started posting things that we could find, we could find something positive? That we could find something good? That we could find something beautiful, because it's all around us. We can find the good things instead of seeking and finding the bad. I've had it up to here. And as a son of God, I say that I live my life in such a way that there is no doubt. My doors are open. My table is open to the stranger, to anyone who needs a meal. And see what Jesus says, it starts with me. I'm going to go to that cross, and I'm going to be nailed to that cross, and I am going to make a difference, and I am going to break down those barriers of these two groups. And if they will just come to me, and if they will just accept my offer of grace, I will make it an incredible difference in their life. And that hatred that they have for that group and this group has for them, if they will take me and my offer of grace and live like they're supposed to do, then we start to right the tide and we start to change the direction of our country. I don't want Gwen to grow up in a country that there's division. I don't want Gwen to experience things that I experienced. And growing up, Lloyd, growing up, we heard things in the locker room. We said things in the locker room, not because we truly believed it, but because it was just that's what was said. And we made natural enemies. But yet when we encounter them, we find out that they're eternal creation for God, and they breathe air like us, and they put their shirts and their pants on like us, and they want the best for their children, and they want to serve God. But see, that those barriers will never be broken until we start to do the work. Until we start doing the work. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. We went to an NDMI a conference in North Carolina, and there was two guys, and they were always joking and cutting up. I told Cheryl, I said they had to be in prison together, because it was just like what we did at the back of the chow hall. They were just messing around. And so, as luck would have it, was they sat right in front of us for the next big plenary session. And he got to cutting up with the other guy, and I commented on it. And he said, you know what makes us different? And I said, I don't know. He said, I'm an Arab and he's a Jew, but we love each other. And he could crack on me. He didn't say crack, but he could tease me and I could tease him. But the one common denominator, the thread that weaves us together, is Jesus Christ. And all the animosities that my family has and all the hatred and animosity that his family has melted away in the glorious light of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It was powerful. It was great. And that's what Jesus did. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put their to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, the Gentiles. He came and preached to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. And you know what the scripture is saying there? Is that the gospel message was for everyone, for those who were far away, the Gentile, and those who were near, the Jews. For through him, we both have access to the Father, Jew and Gentile, access to the Father. I'm struggling right now because I want to keep going. I want to keep going because I haven't got to the point that I wanted to make. But Roger only preached for 15 minutes. I mean that in a good way. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Let me just stop. It's 11:58. What that means is that through Christ, the Father, working through the Holy Spirit, has created an access point to God through the work of Christ. Adam, when you prayed and accepted Christ, me and you agreed, is that where we were sitting and talking was no longer just the earthly. And see what the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit allows the heavenly, the divine, to come and to reside in the earthly. And see, that's how Jesus began to accomplish that. I want to encourage every one of you to know that if Jesus has offered you grace and you said yes and accepted, you're no longer just an Ohioan. You are a child of God. And see what Jesus and what Paul was writing was is that once that catches traction, is that every church that follows the teachings of Jesus Christ, every church that opens up and says, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place, it ceases from just being a tiny little rural church, but that we all become part of the household of God. Isn't that exciting? Everybody has their part. Everybody has their place. Everyone has a seat at the table. I don't care if you're rich. I don't care if you're poor. I don't care if you're if you have letters at the end of your name that you got from a college. I don't care if you graduated through ABE, GED. I don't care. Matthew, what I see in you. What I see in you, Matthew, is a young man full of promise who likes to read and likes to study the Bible and likes to come into church, and that God has invited you to become part of the household of heaven. And that as you walk with him and as you talk with him, the God of wonders who hung the stars and the moon will walk with you and go with you wherever it is. And I don't care what you got into. Me and Eddie, we share everything. Met on the football field. We wrestled. We got hired at the prison together. He got hired by Chippendales and I didn't. And sorry, Michelle. I got some pictures that I'll share with you. I get cancer. He has to get cancer. But what we did was we went through the riot together. And you know it's coming up next weekend. And we were underprepared. And we wasn't ready to go into a prison riot. And we got to come home one night. And Cheryl said, "Tell me the truth. Are you in danger?" I said, "No, we're outside the prison." And she said, "You're a bold-faced liar." And I said, I don't know what to tell you. But then, to put my heart at ease, she said that the blood that saved you will also be the blood that protects you. And so I went back down there to the riot with you, and me and you talked about when you say yes to God, you become part of His holy household. You could read the rest of the verses all the way through to 22. And He will never leave you, and He will never forsake you. And there is no mountain that is too high, and there is no pit too low that the sustaining grace and power of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, cannot get you through. Oh man, I'm telling you, I wish it was like the old days where we would just come into church and we would just talk until people passed out and fell out the window and killed themselves. That's in the Bible, Danny. I'm not making stuff like that up. I could stay and talk to you about Jesus all day long. I'm so proud to be your shepherd. And I love you. And you guys have made Cheryl and I the richest people in the world. But the love that I have for you pales in comparison to the love that God has for you. And if there's someone in here today that says, "I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. God, I went too far. God doesn't want me." Come and talk to me. There's somebody here today. There's somebody here today that has something to get off your chest. I'm convinced of it. I fought for you guys this week. I prayed and I fasted for you. There's someone here that needs to come up and to kneel at this altar and pray and talk to your Creator. I don't know who it is. You know. And so I'm going to pray. We're going to dismiss. Adam's going to play a song just for your listening pleasure. But as soon as I say amen, you guys are dismissed to go. And you could always stay around. But these altars, if these altars could talk of all the times that they were broken and forgotten and marginalized, that they met God at these altars. And so if you feel like praying, come on up and pray. No one's going to bother you. Someone's here today. Let me pray for you. I love you, Dad. I love you, Dad. And I adore you. And I am so optimistic is that grace wins. And I know all of these divisions, and I know all of this hatred. If we would just allow you to work, would melt away and would become just a little blip in our rearview mirror. I pray for our people. I pray for our church. I pray for our state. I pray for our country. I pray for our world. Is that, oh, that your Son would be broken out and poured out like a beautiful fragrance that we could all enjoy. Harness all of our emotions today. Harness all of our emotions today and channel it for this week that starts tomorrow, that we can start this process of change. I pray in your holy name.